In 2020, between the pandemic, my raging headaches, and the resulting feelings of isolation from both, I was on the verge of giving up on the idea of God and my faith altogether. I couldn't make sense of a God who would allow the existence of the soul-crushing pain that I was experiencing, or a global pandemic that was killing millions of people. I'd often heard of the benefits of spiritual direction, but had never dedicated the time or finances to go. But I was desperate, so I decided to try it. Maybe a last-ditch effort to cling to what little faith I had left. For the first 2 years, my spiritual director and I only talked on the phone. I'd never met Liz in person, and we didn't do Zoom. I'd seen a picture of her, but that was it. She was just this voice on the other end of the phone line, sometimes just a silent presence on the other end of the line, while I cried and processed and tried to make sense of where God was in my suffering. 1 month during our call, it was raining outside and everyone was home. It was a pandemic after all. So I sat in my truck so that I could have a little privacy. I can't remember our conversation that day, but I do remember that I was curled up on my seat in the truck, sobbing while the rain poured, and Liz just held a steady, compassionate presence at the other end of the lawn. I often sat under a certain oak tree in my garden while we talked, just me and Liz's voice, and eventually the recognition of God's presence sitting together under that tree. Now that oak tree is the place where I go when I need to feel God's presence, need to hear God's voice, need to know that I am not alone. The first time I met with her in person, I was so nervous. We had been talking once a month for almost 2 years at that point, and I had never seen her. So when I sat down across from her, I fessed up immediately to my nervousness. And she asked what I was nervous about, and I said, "What if the movie isn't as good as the book?" I was afraid that I was going to lose something that had become a lifeline for me. That 1 hour a month on the phone with her had saved my faith. It had saved me too in so many ways. I look forward to those phone calls all month long. It helped me hang on through the isolation of COVID. It helped me claw my way back to God and to find a deep felt sense of God's presence, even during my most painful experiences. It helped me get better at articulating how I was experiencing the Spirit's movement in my life and in the world. It helped me find the courage to speak out and take action for justice, even when I still felt afraid. It is helping me to think about what it means to be a Christian and to claim my faith at this time when I hate everything about the way the word Christian is portrayed on our national stage and in our politics. I don't believe I would have been ready to be the pastor of Sojourners if it weren't for those 1 hour a month phone calls with Liz. And I'm happy to report that the movie is much better than the book, and I still meet with her once a month in person. This isn't an advertisement for spiritual direction, although I think it's a marvelous thing and you should go. There were many other ways that I continued to show up for my spiritual life, even when it felt hard. Chief among them was continuing to show up here for worship and allowing this faith community to carry me when I wasn't sure enough of my own faith. Like Rumi's poem, "When we wake up another day empty and frightened," which honestly is most days right now, rather than reading the news or springing into action, we can choose to turn ourselves towards beauty, which is to turn ourselves toward God. For you, that may be in prayer or meditation. It may be reading a psalm, drawing a picture, playing an instrument, taking a walk outside. The weather this week has been lovely. It could be showing up here for worship on Sunday, or contemplative evening prayer on Wednesday, or come and meditate with Paul on Thursday afternoons. It might be therapy, or spiritual direction, or a deep conversation with a friend. As Rumi says, there are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. All of which are how we place ourselves at the feet of Jesus, ready to be fed and nourished and transformed by God's beauty and love. And it is out of those experiences of being in God's presence, of being transformed by God's love, of connecting to the divine outside of ourselves, that we are moved into action. The story of Mary and Martha is the quintessential story of the binary between faith and works. For much of the history of interpretation of this story, it has been used to pit faith and works against one another, or worse, to belittle what is typically seen as trivial women's work versus the more important men's work or the better part of learning at Jesus' feet. This season, though, as you know, we are looking beyond those binaries. When I preach this story, I like to use the New King James Version. Any version of the King James wouldn't normally be my choice for worship, but in this case, I like two word choices in it. The words are also and good. So look at it. Most translations say, she had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet. The New King James says, she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. The word also is in the Greek text, so I'm not sure why other translations leave it out. It's important because it means that Martha also sat at Jesus' feet. Martha also engaged in learning and contemplation. We don't have to pit one against the other. In that moment, Martha was overwhelmed by the stress of all that there was to do to care for Jesus and his disciples. Perhaps Jesus was simply responding to her anxiety in the moment and inviting her to come back. Sit there again. The other word choice is good. Most translations say Mary has chosen the better part. With the New King James, we get Mary has chosen that good part. Maybe parsing words here, but the choice of the word better makes it sound like a judgment call. What Mary chose was better than what Martha was doing. But with good, it feels like Mary's choice is just different, and it is also good. And Jesus won't take that away from her. And perhaps instead, he is again simply inviting Mary to come back to something that has also been good for her. Jesus can see that she is overwhelmed. I think we should hear Jesus' words here with compassion. Martha, Martha, I get it. There's a lot to do. You're overwhelmed. Feeding all of us is too much. Come, put your feet up for a moment. Listen. Again, Jesus is not devaluing Martha's work. Doesn't say that. Nor is he devaluing action at all. Let's go back to last week's reading for a minute. At the beginning of that reading, a lawyer approaches Jesus and asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. Jesus turns the question back on him and asks him what the law says. And the lawyer says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Jesus affirms that the lawyer is right, that all of the law can be summed up into these two ideas. Love God with everything that you are, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. It is the words of the central prayer of Jewish life, the Shema, taken from Deuteronomy and said in every morning and evening service. And love your neighbor as yourself, taken from the book of Leviticus. They're not separate ideas, not opposing binaries as if one can only be done at the expense of the other. Rather, love of God and love of neighbor, or faith and works, or action and contemplation, however you want to frame it, they flow through one another, interweaving, informing, and strengthening one another, more like an infinity loop even than a spectrum. We see that throughout Jesus' ministry. He's always moving between active ministry with the people to quiet moments away with God. He sends his disciples out to heal the hurting and further the work of justice while also teaching them how to pray and inviting them into intimate moments and meals and interactions with him. Luke pairs Jesus' parable of the merciful actions of the Samaritan with the story of Jesus inviting Martha into contemplation to highlight that it's not either or, it is both and. Act like the Samaritan, love your neighbor as yourself, and return to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary. Love God with your whole self. Both faith and works are needed. Friday at Ezra's installation, we prayed and sang, as I said, from the Reformed prayer book. Most of the service was in Hebrew. I confess to having only taken one semester of Hebrew, and I was miserable at it. The prayers were beautiful, though, even though I didn't understand the words. At one point in the service, we stood as we prayed the Shema, and then were invited to remain standing while we said silent prayers to ourselves. On the facing page of that prayer book were some prayers written in English, and these lines stood out to me as I stood there. Pray as if everything depended on God. Act as if everything depended on you. Yes, this. So much this. Pray as if everything depended on God and act as if everything depended on you. Our world is shifting rapidly. Every day presents another opportunity to protest or boycott or stand up for justice or reach out to a hurting neighbor or stranger. Jesus calls us to those works of justice and mercy now more than ever. And we need times of our own spiritual renewal. So we hear Jesus' invitation to Martha to also choose the good part of contemplation, of prayer, of strengthening our faith, of taking the time to sit with God. Jesus calls us to those acts of faith now more than ever. It is both faith and works, pray and act. Nancy called us last week to the work of mercy and love for our neighbor. This week, you are invited to consider the formative parts of your own spiritual life. How do you experience the presence of God? Where do you go to quiet your mind and prepare your heart? How do you pray? How do you listen for God's voice? What are the spiritual practices that draw you into relationship with God and allow you to be ready to act? When we wake another day, empty and frightened, let us remember first to draw close to God. Remember that there are many ways, Rumi says hundreds of ways, for us to kneel before God's presence. And then may we let the beauty and faith we find there be what leads us into action. Let me so. Yeah.